Okay, y'all can be seated. We will chant the puja. So compose your mind, develop the faith, sada, virya, then we will commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Mila Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we turn to page 4 of the chanting book. To commence our chanting, we will start off with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchachara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatthana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. We are now chanting Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajja namuttamang vanna ganda gonopethang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu muttamang. Now we turn to page 18, the last page, to do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transfer merits to the departed one and all those who can receive them. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Tripaja. Bhutang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. can proceed with the meditation. I think everybody has been here before, so nobody is new. I will off the light, then we can start our meditation. You chant, my wife will help you. now she got it. one more. Okay, thank you. So as usual, those who already know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. For those who are still new, who need instruction, you can read up the blue book. Then always remember, if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, you need to do something to overcome your five mental hindrance. Then you can use the mind sweeping method combined with metta, loving kindness, to bring about the decondition of this heedless thinking so that the mind can be peaceful, can be quiet, and just aware within. So this silence is the meditative mind. Then after that, to stabilize this silent mind, you can use any of the skillful means or any method or technique or object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you got none, you can try anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Or if you follow Thai tradition, you can develop buddho, breathing in but breathing out do. This one, when you understand, it is not verbalization because there is no sound, no vibration. It's just like Mahayana chanting. You chant until the mindfulness and the what they call mantra become one. Then Buddha is the same. It's like the Buddha breathing in, but breathing out, though. You can use it. Otherwise, you just silence your mind and maintain mindfulness, awareness. When the breath is detected, just stay with it. The breath and the awareness move as one. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. You just maintain this training. After a while, the sati will develop. Mindfulness of the in and out breath will develop. Then your breathing and your mind become like one. The mind is always with the breath. Then when you can do that, it's very easy to develop the mindfulness of the four posture and all those things. Mind and the posture as one. Body and mind as one. Starting with the breath. So these are the training that initially those with spiritual faculty are still not stable. Once you have developed this training, then you can meditate. After that, you just relax and silence your mind. The anapanasati, when you develop, initially you may have some wandering thought. Then split second, or after a while, it wanders off. Never mind. Be patient. Just bring it back. Just tell yourself, the mind that is not fully trained has this tendency to wander off. Then you just bring it back. Wanders off, you just bring it back. Then finally, one day, when you are able to do it, stabilize it, then the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful. You will experience a type of joy they call the spiritual joy or spiritual calmness or spiritual rapture, pity. It will arise. When pity arises, you relax into it. Then it will become more and more refined until it becomes sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind, more refined than pity. Then as you relax more into it, sukha will also transform and become what they call pasati. So pasati is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When the mind is very quiet, very peaceful and very still, then all of your activity of the breath or whatever object of meditation that you are mindful of, they will become very fine, very subtle. Finally, like little or no breathing. Then you continue to just silent your mind, relax everything, and let things be. Then sooner or later, this mindfulness will become more and more refined, more and more stable, until the mind can be in sati by itself. The mind is quiet, silent, peaceful, and still, in the state of tranquility or stillness, without any movement on its own. During this time, wherever you locate, this mind is very sensitive, it will detect. Then the subtle breathing will come back to you. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and silent. Not long, the anapanasati will become like very, very stable. Then you can try moving this mind to any location you want to. Finally, it will drop to your heart area. Especially when you do your mind sweeping method, when you are very sensitive, when you reach your heart, you will be able to detect a lot of vibration there. Then you will also be able to detect your heartbeat. So when you can detect them, you just silence everything and stay there. That can become your new object of meditation. When you are able to silence, relax, and just aware of the in and out breath, then when it drops to the heart, silence your mind and just aware of the vibration that you can detect. If it's the heartbeat, then you stay with it, relax into it. Then this heartbeat, or rising and falling, or what they call the arising and passing away of this heartbeat, they will become very subtle after a while. The heartbeat initially is like very pronounced, like it is thumping, pop 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 pop. Then later on, it becomes like very quiet, very still, very slow. It will slow down on its own. Then later on, little and like no more movement. When you reach that state, means your mind state is already very fine, very quiet, very still, and very silent. And you have hit pasati, the meditative mind, the silent mind. This mind will have inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness and awareness. And the stillness of mind, the silent mind, will be very sensitive. It can understand many things. You use it to meditate. When you just silent, this is general spacious awareness without a center. The mind that is silent can actually be sensitive. It can be aware of everything that arises within the form and mind. Whichever sense or consciousness upon contact, what happened, it will be very, very clear. And all the movement of thought, mental phenomena, you will also be able to be aware of it. And there's a lot of clarity. So dependent origination upon contact, what happened, you will also understand the five physical senses and the mind, how they continue dependent on contact, consciousness arise. Then within that consciousness, how through your views and opinion you input the content. Then from there, how your mind stir based on your conditioning, your wrong view, your deletion, their delusion and all those things. But when you have wisdom, understanding, the mind does not stir. The mind can just be at the moment of sense experience, then feeling will remain as pure feeling. Then it can accept things as they are, it can see things as they are, it can stay there in equanimity. And such a mind has already developed understanding and wisdom. Then you realize peace can arise anytime, anywhere, any place, under any circumstances. The mind is already different. It has this wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Yoniso is wise. Manasikara is attention. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You will understand them all. Okay, I will now let you develop your meditation on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 or 25 minutes. also still want to meditate, you can meditate. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In the universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Yadidāṁ cattāri purisa yukkāni Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anutarang Punya Ketang Lokasati, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple J. Buddhang Pujimi. Dhammang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay. is a sheet of notes given to you. This one is dated 6 September 2015. The 9th Expatriate Dharma Jewel Platform Sutra class conducted by me at Wu Ping Jing Sir. There was a very good question asked by Sister Susan. So she reported the meditation and she asked a question, I think. Then Sister Lee get May's mother, Sister Queenie, she is here tonight, to help do up the draft for the transcript. So I edited it, then we get it printed. So today we can go through it. It can help you understand better. It is mainly to explain to people the importance of lying down meditation and how to go about doing it and when only you should do it. Then the purpose and function, they are all clearly explained there. Then I have included the meaning of method and technique inside the answer too. Then we also mentioned about one of the email that one of the monk from SBA wrote and sent out to. They happened to put me on the circulation email. I think was because last time somebody must have submitted my email. So till today I received it. Then I saw the email. Then I realized what I have been like trying to explain to you all this while. Now at least some monks have started to recognize what happened, because this monk has been asked what method and what technique he teach. Then he find it very difficult to answer them, and all the answer he gave were not satisfactory, because this monk happened to combine some of the teaching of Payankati and Eckhart Tolle in his teaching. And he also used certain method and technique earlier on. But then later on, he came to this understanding that all this method and technique, they don't lead to discernment. So he knew he has a problem. So he tried to answer people by saying he is at his best when he teach discernment. He don't want to teach method and technique. But the bottom line is, until today, sad to say, within the Buddhist community, very few people very few people can have the real understanding of what are method and technique for object of meditation, for then what are the actual teaching that the Buddha taught. What is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha? So all these are still not clear. That's why what have been taught or commonly accepted are method, technique, object of meditation and teacher. And people have been doing all this without understanding and they became gullible. So because of that, this transcript was very meaningful. Then later on, for those who came in later, we would like to present you this booklet form. What you have is a note, but Brother Teo has helped to create a booklet. Then we have used the Kayamita Fund to print this. So those who have not got this copy, you can collect from the box there on your way out. So this is easier to keep and read. Otherwise, I realize these notes are it will end up somewhere else unless you have a file to file it out. So you can have this as a spare, and if you want to give it to to somebody who can make use of it, by all means, then you can keep this book. We have printed enough copies, so you can have one each. Okay, now we will go through it. The title of this short transcript is Understanding Lying Down Meditation. So this was based on a class that was conducted by me at Wu Ping Jing Se Buddhist Vihara. The address is number 4, Jalan Section 11, Stroke 8, Petaling Jaya. Dated 6 September 2015. This is a continuation of a series of Platform Sutta session, the Six Patriarchs Diamond Jewel Platform Sutta class. We are at the 9th session at that time. Now it's already November, 2 months later. December, almost 2 months plus, coming to 3 months. So I'll read to you session 2, report on meditation, followed by question and answer session. Question by Sister Susan. Bratio, regarding my meditation, I'm aware that when I'm in the lying down posture, I'm definitely more relaxed when compared to my sitting. During sitting, I'm aware that there is more tension. So should I just continue to lie down every time I want to do sitting meditation? So this was the reporting and question by Susan. Then I replied, it is up to you, because there are time to sit and time to do the lying down meditation. If you want to train your mind, it's easier to do it while in the sitting posture, because in the sitting posture you can maintain awareness or mindfulness of the in and out breath, which is anapanasati better. Initially, the sitting posture is usually more conducive. But later on, as you develop the ability to have this meditative mind that is already so quiet, so peaceful, so clear and so tranquil, which means you have developed the ability to go into stillness of mind, which is pasati, rather easily. Then when that happens, if you continue with the sitting posture, you will find it very difficult to go into a relaxed state of a free mind, to maintain the state of tranquility and stillness of mind, unless you know how to relax well. See, when you are in the sitting posture, you can check for yourself. Because you cross your leg, it is very, very difficult to relax under this posture, because our usual posture in the modern civilization is sitting on a chair or a couch or a cushion. Nowadays we seldom sit on the floor. But when I was young, I remember we always sit on the floor. When we visit our friend's house, seldom do we have chair to sit, because normally quite a number of us. So among classmates, when we go there, so we tend to sit on the floor and we do our things. We talk, we chat, we discuss. So during the early day, sitting on the floor was a very general, common practice. So this type of posture is quite easy for most people. That's why during the Buddha's time, most of them sit on the floor. That's why sitting become very popular. Then all the Hindu practice, the yogi, they also cross their leg and they sit, because this is more stable. But later on, as you cultivate, you will develop different understanding. Unless you really know how to relax, like those who do yoga, very flexible and all those things, then all your chi can flow. Otherwise, it will create constriction. Constriction at the point where you cross your leg, because the flow of qi is more difficult. I will read on, then you will understand. I will try to use the pink book easier. Okay. When you have the ability to relax so well, the whole of your body and mind will be in a state of complete relax, even while in the sitting posture, because of your cross-legged posture, there will be energy built up without you realizing it. This is the point a lot of people may not realize. Then this energy build up actually restrict the flow of qi, and that is why during that time you are not so relaxed. If you can, you should try meditating with the lying down posture. Then the mind that has the ability to become so quiet and so still will become a free mind that is naturally relaxed. So this point you must develop understanding. You know what is a free mind or not? Yeah? A mind that is not in what? Concentration or absorption or energy field or not holding anything. A mind that is naturally relaxed is a free mind. Yes or not? But when you are in a cross-legged position, you tend to focus, you tend to concentrate, or you tend to develop absorption, one-pointedness. Otherwise, they cannot stabilize their energy. Otherwise, their mind will wander off everywhere. So that's why during the early day, they do all this sitting, they focus, they concentrate, or they do the noting. Just like the jhanic factor. What are the first two jhanic factors? The five jhanic factors, what are the first two? Vitaka, vichara, applied thought, sustained thought. That's why they apply the thought there. They focus, rasana, they concentrate, the 40 objects of meditation. Then they fix the thought there. That's why they apply the thought, then they sustain it there. And then it becomes very, very calm, very still, one-pointed. Then piti arise, sukha arise, the third and fourth and life, jhanic factor. Then ekagata, one-pointedness, they focus, they build up the energy. Then after that, they push it up. Because the leg is crossed, all the energy build up from there. That's why they can push it up. Then it develop all the jhanas. So this is where the energy field come in. Then this energy build up actually restrict the flow of qi, and that is why during the time, that time, you are not so relaxed. If you can, you should try meditating with the lying down posture. Then the mind that has the ability to become so quiet and so still will become a free mind that is naturally aware and relaxed. So you need to have a lying down posture, otherwise it's very difficult to maintain a free mind. Unless you really know how to relax while you are meditating. That time when I was doing the Anapanasati during the early day, even though I know how to relax, initially I was also trapped, caught in it. I was not in one-pointedness. I was in continuous mindfulness. My Anapanasati was so strong, so stable. The mindfulness is continuous, non-stop. And there's a lot of clarity until it goes into absorption. Then it becomes so still. Then the energy field build up so strong. Then the mind, everything so still. Like no thought. Like you're already enlightened. Nothing can disturb you. You are so stable, but you have to be in that state. That's why I came to understand later, this is a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. Then the hindrances are all suppressed because you cannot come out. Then I can carry this state into the daily life that time with this continuous mindfulness. But no point, it's not a free mind. That's why I cannot check whether the hindrances are still there or not. Then later on, as I came out to work, after I graduate, then I realized the moment I stopped continuing doing that type of absorption meditation, my mind starts to move again, stir again. Then in the midst of life, I find it very difficult to maintain that calm state. Then I need to go and sit every time. Then I need to make this mind continuously aware again. Then I realize this is not the way. Especially after I met this monk, my teacher, Prajnayantra. When he told me the real meditation, the highest meditation, he said, we choose aware every moment, every movement, every action within the present moment. Then I check, no. In the midst of life, I cannot, because I don't develop the daily mindfulness. Then I realize I have yet to do the real meditation. That's why after that I determine. Because he asked this question, who want to promise? He never say promise the Buddha. He say who want to promise? Means promise to develop this continuous mindfulness in daily life. So I straight away put up the hand. Then another person also put up the hand. I forgot who that other person is. Then after that he said, you promise the Buddha, you never promise me. Wow. Promise the Buddha cannot break. So that's what I must really do. And luckily within 2 weeks the daily mindfulness came. Then I realized what the real sati is, no. It is a free mind, not a conditioned mind. Then after that I developed the faith, the spiritual faculty, everything. Because at that time my faith is quite strong. Then from there the daily mindfulness starts to fall into place. Then immediately after that my mind becomes so different. No? Straight away somebody came. No? Then I can see things as they are. Then I understand many things. No? Or then I can meditate so easily. No? I just relax, silent, pop, I went in already. I went into silent stillness. And that time even in the cross leg position, I can relax. No? And my mind got no tension, no stress, nothing. Free mind, silent, just away. Then later on, this one hit paucity. That's why I came to know. Silent, still, tranquil, without thought. Then I realized, how come the mind is like that? Then I don't do sitting, touching, nothing. I just silent, relax. Until that subtle breathing, I can detect it back. Oh, because the mind has entered a much more refined sati, which is very, very fine. And during that time, I realized that mind is so sensitive. Not only the fine breathing can come in, no. Wherever I locate this mind, I can detect all the activity within my body, the vibration, everything. Then my heartbeat, everything. Then I silent, relax. Then it falls to my heart. It falls to my heart. Then I relax further. Then I silent. Then I have been in that state for quite a while. I think 2 or 3 years. Then in 1989, actually that time, I don't need to see anybody already, because that time I already have the Dhamma. Then there was one last guy, last teacher. I don't want to see him, no, but very strange. The condition keep on arising 6-7 times. No. Normally 2 times or maximum 3 times I will go already. But this one very strange, because what I heard was different. So my nature just said, no point, no need. I don't need any more guidance or teaching, because what is needed has already been understood. Then very strange, because the sign keep on coming. Then I realized this one is meant to be, cannot be like that one. Keep on happening when the sign come 6 times. Then I, after the 6th time, I determined, okay, I will see this person no matter what. There is a reason for it, meant to be. Then later on only I came to know it was my vow, find a very, very heavy vow, because my nature has this very strange vow. Whenever it arises, this nature aspire and vow to develop the highest wisdom at any one time when this form and mind arise. And because of that, I had to see him. That's why he was the one that explained to me where the gateway is. The way I met him was very strange. He was from New Zealand. Finally end up coming over to Singapore. There are many conditions arise, but I didn't want to see him. Then later on, he's supposed to go back already, but he keep on extending his stay. Then after the fifth time, my good friend from Singapore called me and said, "Mr. Steele, is it you very lucky?" I said, "Why?" "Now you don't have to come to Singapore. He's coming over to Kuala Lumpur. Is it the wife want to visit Genting Highland?" "Well," I said, "like that also can." I said, "Okay, like that, I will see him." That's why after sixth time. Then when I decided to see him, I waited for that day. Then he called me up in my office the evening, find something. Almost after office hours. Then I said, "Yeah, okay." I said, "You are there." "Okay." I asked for the address. I said, "Give me 2 hours." I said, "I have to go back, take a bath, then I will come with my wife." So I drove all the way up there. That day, the whole lot of Genting Highland, it was full of mist. So, just like we were at Anandagiri, the consecration of Kuan Yin and the three great beings. The whole of the mountain was misty, but Genting more often, with all the mist and all those things. So I drove all the way. And he knew, later on he told me, he said, for a person to drive all the way from Kuala Lumpur to go out and meet him on a misty day like that and spend 3 hours with him, he must be the serious one. Then I think his nature also can feel, then also is meant to be, I think he was sent to meet me. So the moment I met him, I can feel his energy, he can feel my energy. Then we smile, then he held my hand. The moment he held my hand, I can feel him, he can feel me. Then he has a lot of joy. He said, first thing try to remember. First thing he said is, forget about what the Singapore side told me about him. He said, all those things that they tell me about him, forget about it. He said. Because he knew all not correct. Because he teach them according to what they want. So what they told me is all psychic and all those things, energy field. That's why I refuse to see him until the sixth condition arises. Then after that he say, I only teach 4 things, he say. He say, I only teach 4 things. First, relax. Aware. Then relax, aware, 24 hours. Then after that, trust. Then I look at you. I say, I also do the first three. I say, I completed the first three, but last one I don't understand. Is it very good, is it? Because when I say I did the first three, he know I got 30 already. Understand not? He straight away asked me the next question. Where do you return your awareness? Nobody asked me that question before. Where do you return the awareness? Because I already dropped to the heart. Understand? I point to the heart. No, he said wrong. He pointed towards the left. Slightly towards the left. He said somewhere here. Then I got faith in him. No, I just smile. I say, okay. I say, actually, what I want to know is, you must explain to me why you say that. And I said, no. Then he told me, the next question he asked, do you trust me? If people ask you this type of question, how you answer? Huh? You have to trust him because I can feel him. And he is very confident when he say all these things. Like he has been waiting for my appearance. Then I say, yes, I trust you. Then after that he say, okay, you trust me. You sit down, he say. Then after that I say, maybe we go for dinner first because they also haven't have dinner, no. So 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, I was there at about 7:30 to 8, I think. Then we went out for dinner. The dinner was about 1 hour. I took him to the kampong restaurant, I remember. We had buffet there. Then we talked. We just talked like that. Then after the dinner, he said, we should go back now, he said. Oh, he don't want to waste time at the dinner there. Yeah, he said, we can go back now. I said, okay, good. Then I remember when we reached back at his apartment, it was about 9 plus a bit. Just like just now we started, 9 plus a bit. Then, after that, he held my hand again. He said, you trust me? I said, yeah, I trust you. He said, come, sit down. He asked me to sit down. So I sat down. We sit down on the floor. I didn't sit on the chair. He was standing and like squatting on the floor. Then he tell me relax. The moment he say relax, I really know what to do because I has been doing it. Relax, aware, and continuous awareness. This first three already done. Then he knew I can do it. He said, okay, now silent. So I silent, relax. Wow, his hand. His hand was 2 inches away from my, slightly towards my left. No, the heart here. Then I felt something. No, very fine. You know, the Thai energy. Boom, that gateway. You know. Immediately, I detected it. I just relax, silent, and continue with my meditation. You know what happened? All my energy melt inside. Then I become so still and so silent. Then you know what he said? I lie down. First time I do my lying down meditation on that day. I was sitting like that. Then after he touched that point, he didn't touch actually. He radiated the energy in. He detected for me. Because I know how to relax. I know how to silence. I was without thought. That's how I can do it. Then straight away, when I lie down, all the energy melt in. That's why I came to understand what this thing is. The yin-yang energy all melt in and become pure energy. Then it moves on the inside. Then not long after that, my mundane mind collapsed. Very, very fast. Then when he was going through this phase, I remember, but after that I didn't see him already. I only see him one night. Then after that I come back, I know what to do. Then I do the lie down meditation after that. Nobody teach me. I do. Keep on doing. Then my body, you remember last time I used to tell some of you, it becomes so still and so silent until like a car. So well tuned until like the hybrid car nowadays. No sound. The engine, no sound inside there. Because it's not an engine. It is a hybrid motor. And that motor is so smooth. Means like it's a perfect car. 100% perfect. Very well tuned. No sound. The whole lot of movement becomes still. Then like this form and mind. For the first time in my life, I felt I was like a perfect human being. All my whatever illness and sickness earlier on the sinus all gone. I was like a perfect human being, never before so perfect. Then the awareness was fantastic. Monday my collapse, nothing. Not only wholly aware, the awareness is you couldn't understand until you hit that state. That's why this type of meditation, I don't think anybody really can do, unless you really. Then he told me, you know, later on. He said, "Do you know, you are one of the very rare ones." He said, "Normally, for people to reach this point, they are at least 80 years old already." Yeah. Means counting your year to go down already. That's why he was so happy when he met me. So that time I was 35 years old only. I was ahead by very, very early. Then later on, my nature understand if I were to do it on myself, if I were to locate it on my own, if nobody tell me, I need at least 10 to 15 years on my own to locate it. I was still located, but 10 to 15 years. Then I realized I saved that 10 to 15 years. So that's why it was fantastic. But no different actually. Because 15 years later only I come out to share. 89 until 2004 when Yun Chan came to me. For 15 years I didn't do anything. And I think nobody knew though. So this was why I can explain to you all about this lying down meditation. Now we read on so that you can understand. Initially, the mindfulness or awareness is at the anapanasati or the in and out breath region until it becomes very subtle. Then finally, one day, it will drop down to the heart or mind base. Then you just stay there. Because that is the location which is very near the gateway to your nature. From there, if you continue to relax and silence your mind, then one day that silent and still pure awareness that is without thought and craving, don't even try to know, that's right, will be able to detect the gateway and go in. The lying down posture is the most relaxed posture as you have found out on your own. This was referring to Susan. This is a very important posture because in the lying down posture, you do not create any constriction in your flow of chi. Then chances of going into concentration is much lower because this energy cannot build up. If you are in a cross-legged position, all of the energy field and chi, they will build up without you knowing it. Then from your spinal cord, it can go up to your brain. Then when you give it a push, you can push it up to develop all the jhanas. But if you are in a lying down posture, and if you know how to relax into it, all this energy field will not build up. The moment you relax into it, it will stabilize. Then after that, it will become very quiet and very still until you are very sensitive. During that time, you will come to understand that the lying down posture is the best posture. If you can detect the gateway after you have become very quiet and very still, then all your yin and yang energy, which you have developed and stored up early on, whether we are mindfulness or energy field training like Qigong, Tai Chi, Tan Tian, Yoga, Wai Tan Kong, or whatever energy field related practice, like continuous absorption or one-pointedness, they will all melt into the gateway. And during that time, the meditator or the cultivator, which is the form of mind, that is in that state will understand because all of the yin and yang energy as it goes through the gateway, will be transformed and purified into pure energy. This is the pure energy that is already intelligent. This one is not thought-based because it has no thought. Because there is no thought behind. You're just silent, relaxed, and aware. And the last support is trust. Trust means don't use your thought. Understand? Trust your nature to do. You're just silent and don't do anything. No thought involved. Then the pure energy will develop the internal movement which most people cannot understand because they have never done it before. That is the real opening of all the nadis and chakras within your internal bodily movements. All this will happen without any thought, without any directive or effort, via mental intention from the top, which means there is no will, no effort, or mental intention involved, and there is nobody doing. So this is the reason why J. Krishnamurti, via his understanding, said, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation, and wherever there is effort, there is no meditation too. All this, the cultivator will come to understand them clearly. I check, make sure it's recorded. Oh yeah, the clock is ticking. Thanks, and it got the red light there too. Good. So this one can follow. All this, the cultivator will come to understand them clearly. If you are the form and mind doing it, you will understand on your own. You don't need anybody to tell you and teach you. Because whatever happened, like the Buddha said, it can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Understand? No? Only the wise one can understand, nobody else. So you don't need to like check and confirm. No need. The one doing it will understand. Well, this is a entirely different type of movement without thought on. So the key to understanding, when this transformation happens, your mind will become very still, very quiet and very tranquil, very fast. Then after that, you can even maintain this state of awareness or mindfulness in the midst of your daily life very easily. That's why after that, my daily mindfulness become even more different, even more stable. Because that time, like, the mundane mind not there. That nature shine for, that's why throughout the day is aware. No need to do anything. No need object of meditation. No need anything to hold it on. The wisdom, the understanding, and the spiritual faculty. And of course, without the mundane mind, is a lot easier. Then after that, you can even maintain this state of awareness or mindfulness in the midst of your daily life very easily. The reason being, by the time you can detect the gateway, you must have already progressed very far in your meditation, and you must have touched your nature. You already, like Hui Ning and all those other great beings, understood what the true mind is. The moment you touch your nature means you connect, understand? You detect your true mind, and you understand what that thing is, because that is your true nature. That is the one without thought. That is the deathless element. But that is not a human being. That one cannot come out and live life. That one is the nature within. So this one is very important. So the key to understanding meditation is posture is not critical. You can use any posture, even in the Satipatthana Sutta or the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta. It is stated that all the four postures, standing, sitting, walking, and lying down, you can use them to meditate. But the real wisdom or insight comes from meditation in daily life. After you have developed all this ability to be peaceful, to be quiet, to be aware, and to be heedful, then you will have to come out into the daily life and apply this mind state, which is awareness or mindfulness, to insight into phenomena, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, via the direct seeing to penetrate the Dhamma. And later on, to reflect and contemplate via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to prepare the base for receiving truth. Then after that, any of the three turning, either first, second, or third turning, they can awaken your nature. Because by then, most of the time, you are already aware. silent and heedful, then it can trigger off the awakening anytime. After you have this initial wisdom, only then can you cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path and the four foundation of mindfulness in a more refined and deeper manner. After you have developed all this understanding born of daily mindfulness, you can lie down and do your meditation again. By then, it will be very different, because during that time, you will understand very clearly and you will know what to do. Then you will understand that the lying down meditation has its purpose and function, because to realize the more stable Nibbana, you need a formal posture, and the lying down posture is the most conducive. There are two types of awakening. The first type is via the sainthood way in daily life, whereby the realization of Nibbana is just a glimpse or a moment of cessation of form and mind. Those realized by the Sotapan, the first stage of sainthood, and the Sakadagami, the second stage of sainthood. Then there is a second type of awakening that is more stable and lasts longer. Those realized by Anagami, third stage of sainthood, and Arahant, fourth stage of sainthood, and the other great beings like Bodhisattvas and Buddha. For the first two stages of sainthood, the cessation happens only for a moment, momentarily for one moment of cessation only. But that's good enough, because that itself is the realization of Nibbana. That moment is enough to awaken, especially the Sotapannaship and Sakadagamaship, sainthood ways. And this can happen in the daily life while cultivating daily mindfulness. One doesn't need to be in a formal posture. That's why during the Buddha's time, many upon listening, hearing, then some after reflection, contemplation, they awaken. They become Sotapan. They become Sakadagami. So these first two stages of sainthood. The sainthood way is a lot easier. Sometimes through listening attentively, then reflect, contemplate, they awaken because they have cultivated before in the past. That's why the five ascetic, you remember? After the Buddha met up with them again, expounded the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. When he did that, only Kondanya realized Sotapannaship, the first stage of sainthood. But when he followed with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, after they have heard, reflected, contemplated, then he continued with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, straight away they become Arahant. That's why all these are possible when you have developed the base. Okay, I will read on. To realize the second type of awakening, one needs to be in a more stable formal meditation or formal meditative posture. During the early days, most of them do it in their daily life via the first and second turning of the Four Noble Truths. That is, via hearing the sutta followed by contemplation, reflection and inquiry into what the Buddha has proclaimed or taught. Then there are some who develop samatha meditation first via going into jhanas. And that is the reason why they like the sitting posture, which is more conducive. But later on, they still have to release their energy field and return to normal awareness. And this is very important for those who are doing jhana. And go into the daily life to develop the daily mindfulness so that they can develop the initial wisdom via insight into the three universal characteristics of nature to realize the enlightenment. Then after that, they will sit again and go into the formal meditation to realize the more stable cessation. Then sitting can also awaken them. During the time of the Buddhas, of Sakyamuni Buddha, a lot of his disciples does it in the sitting posture. But later on, those who understand, they will come to understand that the lying down posture is in fact more conducive. That is also the reason why the Buddha, during his Parinibbana, he was in the lying down posture. Then whenever he rests, he was also in the lying down posture. This lying down posture was seldom taught because most living beings don't have the ability to meditate that way. If they are not trained, they tend to fall asleep very fast. Then it becomes sleeping meditation. No more lying down meditation. That's the reason why it was not taught, because very few people can do it. And because of that, it was hardly taught. But for those who understand, they will know. The moment you can do the lying down meditation, you are already a very good and advanced cultivator. Lying down posture has its purpose. It is needed when you are developing the second type of awakening. When you go into this so-called cessation of form and mind to realize Nibbana. In the lying down posture, you can develop it much more easily. You can go into it very fast. And you can stay there for quite a while. Then it depends. If you are ready and about to do it, you have to develop some form of tactfulness. Because you have to let those who are around you understand what you are doing. Otherwise, they may think you already did when you go into this cessation. You are really like a dead person. The only difference between you and the dead person is you won't become very cold. You won't become like a dead corpse. Your body will not rot. Your body will not emit foul smell. But you really got no heartbeat. The brain activity and everything else also ceased. No more activity, no more consciousness, nothing. The whole body and mind is like no different from a dead person. Except that the stillness, pure energy of Nibbana, they are still within the form. And because that being is in that state, so in order to prevent any confusion, it is advisable to let people know, so that when you go into it, people will understand. But as far as I know, you don't have to worry so much because it is not easy to go into that state for a long period. It depends on your past cultivation, it depends on your understanding, It also depends on how skillful you are. The extra IT you can cancel. And it also depends on how skillful you are. And most of this cultivator, when they go into, when they go into this cessation, they will know how to come out. It is automatic, but you cannot predict when to come out because it is the unconditioned. You can only come out at the time when the conditions are there for it to come out. So all these are part and parcel of lying down meditation. And lying down meditation is only to be done after you have trained your mind very well. After you have developed the paucity enlightenment factor, until your mind is very stable and very still, and after your daily mindfulness has stabilized, then you will come to understand why this lying down posture is the most relaxed, conducive and appropriate, and then you can do it. Especially at night when you are at home, you have to learn to meditate in the lying down posture so that you can rest very well, so that when you arise the next day, you can become very fresh and mindful. The other reason is because human beings spend almost 1/3 of their time sleeping. True or not? If you sleep 8 hours a day, it's exactly 1/3. If you sleep 6 hours a day, it's 1/4 of a day. So lying down posture meditation, if you can understand and develop the ability to meditate in that posture, it will help you a lot. It can help speed up your cultivation. This type of formal meditation can be done anytime, even when you are resting. Understand? When you are in the office, you just rest, silent, relax. Yeah. Then you can find a place to lie down, a couch or what. Lie down, just lie down. Last time I used to lie down in my car when I drive long distance. I only need 10 minute rest last night. The moment I rest, I'm like, I slept for hours already. I become very fresh. I can drive again. So all this will help you a lot. Then since one third, or at least one quarter of the day you're supposed to sleep, you can make use of that sleeping time to meditate. That's why you have more time than other people. Understand? You know, to meditate in the lying down posture. And finally, you want to understand what is 24-hour meditation. You have to be skillful in the lying down meditation first. And then you will come to realize that you can be mindful throughout the day, and 24-hour meditation is possible. I can share this with you all because this nature of mine had done it before during the early days of its cultivation. So it is all up to you all. Don't worry about the posture. Whichever posture that is more conducive to you, use it. You only need to understand your meditation focus by inquiry. Do you still need to train your mind? If you had already stabilized it and no need to train your mind anymore, then by all means, whatever posture will also be suitable for you, because by then your spiritual faculty are already established. Since you had already trained your mind, hence you can meditate via a relaxed mind. You can silence your mind easily, and then you can develop whatever understanding you want. Then you will understand very clearly what this form of mind is all about. It is for you to use. So use it to live life, to meditate, to develop understanding, and to cultivate. And it's all up to you. Then whatever posture that is the most suitable and conducive, you will also come to understand. Because by now, very likely, throughout the day, you are already heedful and mindful. So there is no difference between standing, walking, sitting, or lying down. No difference at all. Then meditation becomes like a part of your nature. You are in that state of heedfulness or awareness throughout the day. You don't have to rely on anything else to become mindful. You don't need an object of meditation anymore. Then you come to realize that all these method and technique or object of meditation are only initial skillful means used by cultivator to train their mind, and it has nothing to do with meditation. It is just to train the heedless mind to be mindful, to be heedful. And a lot of people cannot understand this very important point. That's why that day I forwarded one email regarding this to you all recently. You all saw it, isn't it? It was written by a monk from SBS by the name of Bhante Kumara. According to that email, he said he had been asked many times at many places about what meditation or technique of meditation he teaches. What method or technique of meditation he teaches. He said he don't know how to answer them. And every time he answered them, he finds his answer not so clear and inadequate. Then he came out with one answer which he thought was very good. I will try to get it from the email and read it to you so that we can discuss it. This may be good because this can help clear up a lot of things. That's why even monks and cultivators, they are also not sure and are not clear about all this. Like what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? And what are methods and techniques or object of meditation for? So when I read the email, I felt I should send it out to our Kayanamitas or Dhamma friend for them to develop the reflection and contemplation so that hopefully they can understand better. Let me try to look it up. Okay, I've got it. According to him, he said, from time to time, this according to his email, I've been asked this question, Bhante, what method do you teach? And I keep having trouble answering it properly. They want me to name it and I don't have one for it. Usually I resort to saying, I teach this and I teach that. In that way, it can seem like I have a mother way of teaching. Some time ago, it dawned upon me, I don't teach a method. I'm not interested in that. Instead, I teach people. I show them how to free themselves from suffering in the best way I know for them at that time. Every experienced teacher knows that every student is different. To think that one method fits all is unreasonable. Sometimes I conveniently fall back on some sort of standard method too, and that's when I'm not operating at my best. That's when I'm not using discernment and the results aren't so good. Results are the best when I drop all ideas of my method, pay full attention to the people and let wisdom decide. So I don't want to use any specific method, but whatever method that is suitable, even if I have never used it before, that is one that occurs spontaneously to me. So next time I know how to answer the question of what method I teach, I try not to teach method. I teach people, posted by Kumara Bhikkhu. So with this, we can discuss, open for discussion. What are your views and understanding on this, basing on your cultivation's understanding? What are methods and what are techniques? So this one, you should reflect and understand it clearly. By now, you should have the understanding. Then I explained that day, do you know why he has a problem or not? If I'm not wrong, he studied Bhyankati's teaching, and he also used Bhyankati's technique or the works, basing on the four lines of questioning to teach. And he also shared a bit of The Power of Now, a bestseller written by Eckhart Tolle. And because of that, his student asked him, so what is your teaching? What method do you teach? He can't describe them because those teachings are neither a method nor a technique. It is more of an inquiry. With this, I hope we can all have a better understanding of the above topic. Then I have this appendix. This is the work that Bhyankati shared with people that this monk also make use of. This work is not bad, but it is not a complete thing because it still miss out quite a number of things. But Bhyankati herself understand. That's why she went through that and she awakened that she came out with all this. But if you don't have the Dhamma to complement what she do, you may not have the full picture. You can only help temporarily solve your problem. It is like, it's not a full solution. It's like a temporary solution. Anyway, I will read through. Hopefully, you all can also understand what she teach. And I will explain the whole lot of Buddha Dharma so that you can see the big picture and understand what is going on. Appendix on what is the work. The work is a simple yet powerful process or inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thought that caused all the suffering in the world. It is a way to understand what's hurting you and to address the cause of your problem with clarity. In its most basic form, the work consists of four questions and a turnaround. So this one is very useful for people who cannot understand what is wrong thought, who has been haunted by thought. So this inquiry can help you turn around. But you must have Dhamma in order to have a permanent solution to it, a complete solution to it. I think our recent Sunday class, if you can, you go back and listen to the end of the recording. I explained this very clearly that day. Anyway, I will explain it again from another approach. Bhyankati say, ask the four questions. The work is actually a type of meditation, but it's an inquiry. That's why you inquire by asking these four questions. It is about opening to your heart, not about trying to change your thought. This is very powerful. It is opening up your heart to develop the understanding, but not to change your thought. Understand or not? So it's about opening to your heart, not about trying to change your thought. Ask the question, then go inside. When he say go inside means go within and silence your mind. And wait for the deeper answer to surface. This is contemplation. This is inquiry. This is reflection. That's why when you contemplate, reflect and inquiry, you must be in a calm state or in a creative state. Like those talented poets or musicians, when are they most creative? They are most creative when they are alone with themselves in a tranquil setting where they like. Understand? So when they are alone in a proper setting which they like, then when they reflect and contemplate, they just reflect, how can I come up with a music that can develop the interest and people can appreciate and develop the understanding and love for it? So when they put this into reflection and inquire, then that creative nature within will give them the answer. Then they will connect, then they will be inspired, and they will start to write all those music now. All those poems, like Su Tong Po, the poem, he must take a little bit of wine, tipsy a bit. Then in that setting, he has this talent. Then he will become different. So this four line of question, you have to inquire deep into it. Then when you are silent, the creative answer will come. Wait for the deeper answer to surface. Investigate each of these statements from the four questions below. This is how it works, the four line of questioning. So I give you one example. This one can apply to any problem you have. It can be a health problem, a relationship problem, financial problem, or whatever problem that you encounter in life, any of the first noble truth reality. But the easier one is Bhayankati, every time use one, or he every time have people having this problem or confronting this problem, relationship between spouse. In the Western society, a lot. That's why they got a lot of divorce cases and all those things. It's pretty common. Then Eckhart Tolle teach also same. He used the word pain body. He always say human being got pain body. Sometimes your pain body is dormant, not active. You know what is a pain body or not? The body that can become miserable, suffer, have a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. So these are emotional negativity, pain body. So this pain body is like that. When you have wrong view, when you have this type of wrong thought, when you are very unhappy, then when people say all these things to you, straight away the pain body will react, understand? Then you feel the pain. So that is what a pain body is all about. Then when there is no condition for it to come out, you like a normal person. Wow, happy go lucky doing your thing. Then suddenly somebody remind you, or one phone call come, or you see that guy which last time bully you, cheated on you, or did something to you. Wow, straight away the pain body start. Then sometimes it's between husband and wife. The two always have misunderstanding, conflict, argument. So there are a lot who come and pay back their karmic debt. So they will become miserable. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of argument, a lot of anger, hatred, emotional negativity. That's why all this pain body will keep on becoming active. Seldom is dormant. But if it's something else that trigger, nothing to do with your daily life, like child abuse when you are very young or what. So all this, it will lie dormant because you tend to forget about it over time. Then when condition arise, it trigger again. So for Bhayankati, it's different. He deal with relationship. He said, let's say, take for example, most of the time, the spouse cheat on the opposite partner. Maybe for our case in Malaysia or in Asia, it's more often the man cheated, then the wife become very angry, emotional, jealous and all those things, full of hatred and all those things. So what happened is, this person who is afflicted, especially the wife, you know what the thought will tell him or not? When they came to find out that the husband really cheated on them, because husband now got money already, can become naughty already. Then they look for a younger one, a more friendly one. So what happened is, the wife, the thought will project on us or not, and say all those funny things to them. He said, "That told you, don't believe last time. You work so hard together with him, you build up all this. Then now, when he is in this position, capability, what he did to you." Then sometimes the thought will also project and tell you, "You trusted him and you sacrificed so much for him." Means what? Ever since you married him, you work for him, you take care of the household, raise the children, give birth to all this, then help him in whatever business. Then the thought say, he did this to you. So all this, as you think, the form of mind will develop a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of unhappiness. Then it become afflicted, miserable. Then sorrow, lamentation. Then all these are evil roots. Then the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the whatever emotional negativity, they start to snowball, become more and more severe, more and more severe. Then Bhayankati will teach them this inquiry. He say, okay, I can see how you suffer, how miserable you have become. Now let us do the work and find out what is the real cause of your problem. So the first question is very easy. Whatever your thought tell you, is it true? Take for example. I heard it from one of the lady, after the husband did that to her. She said, last time is honey, darling. Now he used the word bastard. He said, this bastard. He said, I trusted him for so long. Gave birth to 2-3 beautiful kids. Sacrificed so much for him. And the bastard did this to me. And this is from her own words. So Bhayankati will say, okay, all this that your thought tell you, you write it down. All those things just now I mentioned. Then he say, is it true? You know what her answer will be? Sure true, why correct or not? Then the second question is, can you absolutely know that it is true? Of course he will say, yes, definitely, 100% sure. Because this is what he did to her, correct or not? After all the sacrifice, everything. So to you, it is also very real, no? That's why they can become so emotional, so unhappy, so miserable. Then what happened? The third question is the best inquiry. How do you react, or what happened when you think that thought, or when you believe that thought? What happened? The wife went through hell, isn't it? Correct? suffer miserable, full of hatred, anger, fear, worry, anxiety, until the whole family unit also gone. See the husband only, all the four-letter word, all the dirty word, all the angry word, emotional word. Oh, then the whole environment is completely destroyed. Then the children also affected. The in-law also affected. The parent also affected. All those that have relationship with them also affected. Just because of what happened. So this third line of inquiry is very simple. How do you react? Or what happened when you believe that thought? Or you think that thought? You become miserable and afflicted. But as a Buddhist, we should understand it this way. These are all wrong thoughts, understand not? And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your anger, your hatred, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your misery, your insecurity and all those things. Especially envy, jealousy and hatred. So these are all evil roots. Root of all evil make you evil. That's why karmically you will fall. And this suffering come about where the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind for whatever that arise. And each and every living being, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma, every moment, every instant. So when you understand all this, you can relate, understand all. Then you can overcome it. You can ask for forgiveness like what we did. Then determine not to repeat this. Then determine to cultivate. Then develop the meritorious action. Develop all the wholesomeness, the blessing. Then invoke the power of merits and blessings for causes and conditions for you to turn around, to be free from this karmic negativity. Understand now? So that all this can be resolved. So that you can move on. You can resolve this amicably without having to get angry. Without having to arise the evil roots. Without having to deludedly go through all this suffering and misery. So this is the Buddhist approach of understanding. But if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, they just follow what Bhayankati say. He only tell you, if you think like that and believe that thought, you become miserable. Okay? And then, of course, like what I used to say, your life, you decide how you want to live. Understand now? If you want to continue to be afflicted by all this, then continue to think like that. Understand now? Because these are all wrong thoughts. But the Buddha teaches the four right efforts. Remember that? The four right efforts to overcome negative thought, unwholesome thought. The first two right effort is what? The first right effort is the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has already arisen. Then the second right effort is what? Right effort to? Right effort to what? First is to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. Second, right effort is what? To prevent the arising of this wrong thought. Understand? How many of you cultivate it? If you cultivate this, you got no more problem. But because you have been able to cultivate this, then the next two right effort is what? To cultivate the wholesome thought that is still not in you. Can remember that. Then the fourth right effort is what? Right effort to refine upon and perfect all these wholesome thoughts that are already in you. Afterwards, I will go through this four right efforts. When Clifford come back, easier. Because they are not Buddhist, they are not taught this. Understand not? They are only told. When you think that way, you become miserable. Now, then the last question is the turnaround. The last inquiry is, who would you be without these thoughts? when you don't have this wrong thought, you become beautiful. Before you know that your husband cheat on you, you were still sacrificing and doing all those things happily, willingly. But how come the moment you come to know, through the thought, you become miserable? So the source is attachment, craving, clinging to the wrong thought. Anasana. That is the Sakkaya Ditthi. Thought being egoic. Anasana. That's why you must have the wisdom and the right view to train your mind to arise the right thought. That's how the four right effort come in. Otherwise, you cannot change your thought. Like my classmate, last Thursday he went there. He is already in depression. Then he has this wrong thought. He keep on telling me, I know these are wrong thoughts. Make me miserable, fearful, insecure, sorrowful, full of what they call tension, panic attack and all things. But I cannot do anything to the thought, he said. And the thought is so real, he said. Because these are his problems, he said. That's why last Thursday I explained. If you hold on to this problem, you will be tormented by it. Because these are all wrong thoughts. Correct, problem. But you don't have to hold it to solve it. Like that day, the analogy I gave him was this cup. Let's say it is burning hot. When you hold it, what happens? It will burn you and torment you and make you miserable. So what must you do? If you know that this wrong thought is making you miserable, what must you do? You don't cling on to this thought anymore, understand not? That's why you put it down, understand not? Then it will not burn you and torment you, understand not? That's why the 6 R that the monk teach is not bad. He say, recognize that these are wrong thought is burning you, understand not? Creating tension, tightness and stress within. What must you do? 2 R is what? Release it. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't even go and think about it, understand not? Because these are the ones that make you so fearful, panicky, so miserable, so unhappy. Why you still want to hold? Put it down, understand not? When you put it down, doesn't mean that the problem is gone, no. The problem is still there. But then now it's not burning you, not tormenting you, understand not? You have clarity of mind. You are at peace. And then you look at it. What is actually the problem? The reality is what? And then you identify the problem. Then you ask myself, after I have understood this reality, what are my options? What can I do? Understand not? Like I used to tell all these people, I say, if your husband has already decided, to divorce you or don't want you and want to move on, what other choice do you have? Do you still want to cling on to him and get him back? No point. But you know what they tell me or not? This bastard did this to me. I'm going to make him suffer. I'm not going to let him go. I say, by doing all these things, are you happy? I don't care. Hatred can be so severe. That's why they say, don't make a woman angry. So all these are the reality. But they cannot see. It's the wrong thought, the egoic mind. So what must you do? You remember last time I gave the example? One of our Dharma friends, we teach her how to come out of it. She really... Because both the two kids were my children's age. They were schoolmates. He got 2 daughters. I got 1 daughter, 1 son. Same age as my children. So what happened was, when the children was in Form 5, suddenly one day the husband came back. The elder one in Form 5. And said, tonight I take you for dinner. I got something to discuss with you. So the wife very happy, you know, dress up very nicely, go for dinner. Very nice dinner. Then after that, the husband say, okay, now you listen. I got something to tell you. Wow, when the husband opened the mouth, say, I want to divorce you. He straight away, freaking off, penny is stop. And he ran off the restaurant. Didn't want to listen. Actually, the wife suspected, really. There had been some rumor really, about the secretary in the office and all those things. But what can the wife do? Because the wife gave up her career long ago. She was a nurse. They met in UK. So because of that, she came to us, you know, then cry like anything. You know. What am I supposed to do? I really don't know what to do. So the top project, no. He said, this time I'm finished. He said, my husband also don't want me already. And I have nothing. And my children also, I don't know what to do. Because she was without a job. Has been a housewife for the last 10 over years. So what we told her is very simple. I said, calm down. Don't panic. Stay calm. Yeah. Just tell us what actually happened. Then when she relate all this, we say very simple. This is not life and death, understand? Those who go through cancer or terminal cancer, less than 6 months life, these are worse, understand? Yours is nothing life threatening, understand? So we told her very simple. You have to resolve it amicably. Then everything will be fine. You go back, you talk to your husband, he say, okay, fair enough. I think we need to talk. We sit down and talk. So he talked to the husband, no, to resolve this amicably. Because we told her, he said, he has already made up the mind. Secretary is so much younger, so much more prettier, and so much more, maybe friendlier. You have to accept this reality. This is what has happened. And he has got money. If you get angry, hate him, and quarrel with him, worse still. You might as well sit down and talk to him. So what we advised her was very simple. I said, okay, you tell your husband. Okay, we talk. We resolve this amicably. I know by now you may not like me anymore. You have your new love. So what I want to do is, I want to resolve this amicably with you. Can we have this understanding? So he told the husband, he said, this house, give it to me. I have nothing. The two children's education and whatever, you take care. Every month I want 6,000 for my own expense. Then the third condition, twice a week, you come back and have dinner with your children. I know you don't like to have dinner with me, never mind. Three conditions, the husband straight away say no problem, so happy, agree. So what happened was, after this was agreed, he went back, the secretary of course very happy, resolved, got him, wife willing to divorce. But then the wife never say he want to divorce, no. The wife just say he want to separate, we separate. There is a 2 year period, isn't it? Then after that, the husband thought about it. Yeah, what my secretary want is, have a good life with me, understand? Then my wife already so kind agreed to all this. You someone want to force her to divorce me? No reason, is there? Then the husband tell the secretary, what more you want? My wife already so accommodating, understand? You someone want to force me to divorce her? You want to be with me only, is there? So the wife don't have status, no, cannot take it, no. So after about a year, absconded with his the husband's cash, you know. Then the company got cash flow problem, and the husband almost become a bankrupt. Then after that, came back to the wife and asked for forgiveness and to be given a second chance. Then happily after that, until today. And when her husband came back and tell her that she was full of joy and so happy. He ran to her and said, thank you so much. My husband came and asked me to give him a second chance. Oh, wow, willing to shift back to the house. Last time shifted out, stay condo. So this is how you resolve it, understand? You don't have to actually fight over it and all those things and become miserable. You have to look at the reality, Anasana. Even health problem is the same, Anasana. If this is something that is confirmed, let's say biopsy done, so what? Everybody also have to go through old age, sickness and death. Not only me, Anasana. So if it's diagnosed, then we have a choice. Either we worry about it and become miserable and afflicted like most people, believe the thought. Where this thought will project and say all those things. The second option is accept this reality and forget about the thought. Then ask yourself, what are my options? How can I move from here? This is not life and death. Even the doctors say, so what? I have the right to have a second opinion. That's why I go for a second opinion. Like my classmate, he saw the first two specialists, well, hell. Then the third specialist only he recovered. It doesn't mean it's the end of the day, end of the world. Then all this cancer, all this thing come about because of stress, fear, worry, anxiety. But when your mind state is beautiful, because 80% of your body is water, like I say, when you arise right thought, wholesome thought, good vibration, when you meditate with the stillness, you will recuperate. Your immune system will go out and you will heal. All this will go away. That's why there are ways to recuperate and recover. Then with some appropriate medication, you recover faster. So all these are solutions which are there. That's why Byron Katie also used this. But he didn't have the full teaching. That's why I say it's not a foolproof thing. He just tell you, if you believe that thought, you become miserable. Then the last line of inquiry is, what would you be without the thought? Oh, without the thought, before you know all these things, that your husband cheat on you, and the doctor's biopsy, you were like a normal person, a happy-go-lucky. Why can't your life be like that? Even let's say you have 3 more months to live. Live, Anasana. Why worry? Then do what you can do to recover, to resolve issue or thing amicably. Through understanding, through nature's law. Amicably means no more karmic negativity. That's why we have this law of karma that actually protects us. Let us understand that we will not do all these things. Because these are all delusion, leading to all the karmic negativity that cause so much suffering. So when you have the Buddha Dharma, you can overcome all this very much faster and in a very detailed and complete manner, which is a permanent solution, full solution, not a partial solution, not a temporary solution. So what Byron Katie did was, he said, inquire who would you be without the thought. Then he said, I discover that when I believe my thought, I suffer, I become miserable. But that when I don't believe them, I didn't suffer. And that this is the truth in every human being. Sorry, this is true for every human being, he said, not only to her. Freedom is as simple as that. I found that suffering is optional. I found a joy within me that has never disappeared, not even for a single moment. That joy is in everyone. That's why Byron Katie, when he found this, he vowed never to believe the thought anymore. Actually, this is wrong thought, Anasana. So when it comes to wrong thought, the Buddha's teaching is very detailed. It linked to the law of karma, then it arises and teach you the 4 right efforts to overcome wrong thought and unwholesome thought. Okay, now we will go into 10:36. Okay, I quickly run through the 4 right efforts. The 4 right efforts to purify your thought. 4 right efforts. This is in the Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path factors. First one is right effort to abandon. To abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. If this wrong thought has arisen, you must learn how to abandon it. Second one is prevent the rising of the wrong thought. You must have wisdom, mindfulness, and awareness to do the second one. The first one is you have to understand what is wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your lack of happiness, or your selfishness, your emotional negativity, which can be hatred and all those things. So once they arise, you have to abandon them. How do you abandon them? The Buddha teach 5 ways, remember? First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. If you got anger, hatred, you radiate love and metta. That's why you can cultivate this in your daily life. It's very good. Every morning when you wake up, smile. Radiate a radiant smile. Then whoever you meet, you wish them well and happy. May you be well and happy. May you be well. Then forgive people. Understand? So that this negative thought don't come. You must have contentment. Contented with what you have. Then have gratitude. Have respect, have love, have kindness, have gentleness. When you have more and more of this, the negative thought cannot arise. So think of the direct opposite wholesome thought is loving kindness, metta, and all this right thought. Yeah. So when you have more and more of that, the negative thought will not arise. But that first one is more difficult to cultivate because human being, when you have problem, when you think that wrong thought, that thought keep on coming to haunt you. You cannot stop it from coming. Because you have been doing it through habitual tendency. Understand? Through your mental hindrance that you have developed over the years, the conditioning. So, the Buddha said, if the first way, think of the direct wholesome thought doesn't work, then think of the consequence. The danger of holding on to this wrong thought. Because this will make me miserable, understand? My life. Just like Bhayan Kathy said, if I don't think that thought, I am peaceful, I am beautiful, then I must abandon it. Because the danger of holding on to that wrong thought is it makes me evil. They are evil roots. It makes me miserable, fearful, full of worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. I will determine to abandon it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to think about it. That's why the 6 R, just as I mentioned, is very good. The first R is recognize that this wrong thought has already arisen. Yeah? Then second one is release. Release that wrong thought. Recognize. Recognize. How to spell? R-C-O-N-I-G-E. Correct? Never mind. Go back and check this. Recognize that it's a wrong thought. Understand? Then release it. Means don't think about it. Release it. Then it loses its power to attack you. When you release means you don't cling. You don't grasp. Then what happened after that? You have to relax into it, the third R. This one is all in the Heart Sutta book. You don't have to write down. In the Heart Sutta book, short note, they are all there. Recognize, release, then relax. When you relax into it, you feel very good. Then after that, you re-smile. Where you can radiate a radiant smile. Then you return to your breathing, your meditation. Return to breathing or meditation. Then the last R he say repeat. But we don't need to repeat because this is mechanical. So this last R actually no need. Because every time it come again, he said you repeat this process. You only have to do this when the wrong thought arises again. So you recognize the wrong thought has arisen because it has made you miserable and stress you up and develop all the negative emotion. the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So when you recognize that this wrong thought has arisen, release it. Release means don't think about it. Release it. Then you relax into it. Normally your forehead here, a lot of tension, a lot of stress. And your heart here, a lot of emotion. You just feel and relax into it. That's why don't think. Mind sweeping method, feel, don't think, relax into it. No matter what suffering come, you just do this. It will go away. But after it go away, you have to arise the second right effort. What is the second right effort? Oh, sorry, before the second right effort, the Buddha said, after the first two, the third one is what? Meditative. Remember? Meditative. Just silent and be with it. This relax and re-smile is thought-based. Understand not? But meditative one, no need to do any of this. The moment you recognize, which is the thought, will recognize, you just silent. The moment you silent, it will relax and release. Then always check your facial expression during meditation. Understand not? I saw a lot of people's face very serious. Cannot even smile. Means you are holding it. Understand not? You are not peaceful. You are not happy. You are not relaxed. Yeah. So when you are in a meditative state of relax, there is a lot of joy. There is a lot of peace. There is a lot of pity. Then there is a radiant smile within. Understand not? Then there is happiness. There is joy. Then there is silence. There is stillness. There is awareness. So meditative is just aware. Don't do anything. Whatever that emotion like anger, hatred, fear, stay with it. Don't fear it. Don't fight it. Don't push it away. Don't suppress it. Don't control it. These are natural condition arising emotion. When you have wrong thought, they will arise. So when you know the consequence, you can try the 6 hours, which is still thought-based. Then after that, you meditate. Means you silent and be with it. Just aware. The very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. So all the fear, worry, anxiety, they will cease. By itself, they will cease. Yeah. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. How did this wrong thought come about? How did it condition my fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation? Then you will come back to the sixth sense door. Then you will come to know it's something you see, hear, or recall through your thought. Then you tell yourself, after I see something, hear something, or recall something, how come I become like that? You will investigate and realize it's your wrong view, your habitual tendency. You have been doing this for so long. So you have to straighten your view. You have to learn to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Understand or not? Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Then when it comes to health problems, sickness problem, this body go the way of nature. It's not me, element. Understand or not? That there is no more suffering. Understand or not? Means you can accept them for what they are. Like the 5 daily contemplation. What did the Buddha say? The first 3. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. Not only you. Everybody's physical body also subject to nature's law. And this one is not you. So don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Like the car. Need to send for service, repair? Go. Do it. Understand or not? Then need to do something to recover and recuperate. Because this is a body and mind process, like I said. When you train your mind, you meditate, positive energy. Then the vibration within will help your 80% of your body mass, which is water, to have good vibration, good crystal. Then this will strengthen your immune system. Your cell will not mutate and become cancerous and all these things. That's why you must have more and more of this type of meditation. Calmness meditation, awareness meditation, metta and all those things, loving kindness, and good mind state. Then, third right effort is right effort to develop the right thought that is still not in you. Develop or cultivate? Or cultivate. The right thought that is still not in you. Means like loving kindness, contentment, generosity, then gratitude, gentleness, pleasantness, wholesomeness, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, like rejoicing, sadhu, sadhu. Then the last one is to refine upon. To refine upon and perfect. All this right thought. This is to cultivate and develop the right thought. This is to abandon the wrong thought. Then this one is to prevent the arising of wrong thought. These are all in the notes. Hatsutta notes. You don't have to copy it down. I just want to run through so that it is in the recording, so that it can help people. Then I read the final one. Bhayangkati say, people who do the work as an ongoing practice commonly report elevation of depression, find solution, even happiness in situations that were once debilitating, then decrease stress, live with less anxiety, fear, worry, and sorrow and lamentation. Then improve relationship, experience deeper connection and intimacy with partner, with parents, with children, and with friends and yourself. Then reduce anger and fear, understand what makes you angry and fearful. Increase mental clarity, live and work more intelligently and more efficiently with integrity. More energy, experience a new sense of vigor, ongoing vigor and well-being. Then more peace, discover how to become a lover of what is. This one very important, lover of what is the reality of the moment. So when you can come to terms with the moment and accept the reality of the moment, which is what is, you will become peaceful, because this is nature's law. When nature's law is like that, condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, you will be afflicted. You will become miserable. If you can accept things as they are, then from there, you don't react, don't stir your mind, and don't be afflicted. All these wrong thoughts cannot arise. Then you have wisdom to accept things as they are, to see things as they are. That's how you liberate your mind and free your mind. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. Okay? We end. Okay. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Sorry to have taken about 20 minutes extra tonight. Okay, sharing of merits with the Devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed ones, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we skip the blessing for the nation. We go to Imina.
อิมินาปุญญังกามินามาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวะนิวานาปัตติยา
By the grace of this marriage that we had thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened ones until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Thank you.